Under Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976, allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. The views and opinions expressed in this video and on UME Radio YouTube channel are those of the host and or the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of UME Radio YouTube channel.
Let's talk
relationships on UME Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.
Hey, welcome, 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 welcome. How we doing, Lady Gloria? Not hearing you. See if you're muted. I'm not hearing you, my dear. Yeah, check your audio real quick. So while she's checking the audio, welcome you all to another night of LTR. That's Let's Talk Relationships. It's kind of funny because as I opened up just now, I reflected back on, I think, the first or second show that I did. I was so nervous. I was like shaking in my boots. And after over a year now, it feels very natural having this great audience to speak to. I want to say thanks for joining us tonight. Are you hearing us, Lady Gloria? Are you hearing us tonight?
I'm hearing you. Are you hearing me?
Now we're hearing you. Now we're
nice.
Back.
Yes.
Awesome. Again, good night. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. How are you?
Good. And let me just say, I was asked, how was your day?
It was good. How was your day?
Man, good. I've had time to de-stress and kind of woo, take off that every kind of, you know, sometimes we got to breathe deep and just take a couple of breaths and just kind of release your thoughts and let it, that all the tension goes to our fingers and all that stuff. So a good meditation routine also is very good. I understand. Mm,
I'll be doing that tonight after the show.
Yes, 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 yes. So we had it last week, and it was awesome.
Yes.
And you're back again this week.
Yes, I am.
You know, we definitely miss Lady Misty, and my goodness, tell you. But she's getting better, and that's a good thing. I'm excited for that. So tonight we have an awesome lady in the position.
Just sitting in.
The sitting in. Just sitting in.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Brownie. She said she loves me on the show. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. Awesome, awesome. So again, folks, thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Relationships on UMU Radio.
Yes.
Here we explore the dynamics and evolution of relationships, identify challenges, and offer perspectives through transformative conversations. Oh. All right. We're here to promote, you know, strong, healthy family life and community. And it's important to us that you know that it is not our intention to offer opinions or advice on how you should live your personal life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How your personal relationships should be. That's not our purpose here. But it's to we do our own research, and we ask you to do your research.
That's right.
Be a free thinker. Make sure you are doing well in your own life as well, and know that we wish you love and happiness.
Yes,
we do.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Of course not. Yeah. So, folks, as we look forward to a great show, as we do. We want to say a big thank you to all our partners, supporters. You guys are the best. Listeners and viewers from all over the world. We're talking about 116 countries now and growing. So that's
and more. Awesome. Yes.
And more. Yes.
And I want to say hello to everybody listening. And we saw Miss Brownie already. Mm-hmm. So we know that she's here. We know that you could be so many other places. You could be in so many other places and spaces
right now,
but you have chosen to spend time with us. We value your time, and we'll jump right into our main topic after sharing a few reminders. So again, welcome to the show. I am Gloria.
And this, of course, is the DJ KTE. And I'm here. I'm excited again to be with you. And it's October the 18th, 2021. And it's now 9:00. Can you tell me?
Well, is it still
9:05?
It's 9:06.
There you go. 9:06. There we go. And so we're happy to have you here this evening with us.
Yes, and to listen and watch this or other episodes later, you can also listen to UMU Radio on all major digital platforms, including via our app at app.umeradio.com, available on Apple or Google App Stores, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google, Podbeam, TuneU, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, Listen Notes.
So much more. So folks, so before we get into the topic for tonight, we'd like to share a message from one of our amazing, I'm telling you, this is, you know, you really find folks like these, but one of our amazing fans, a member and a returning guest, Apostle Faith, Dr. Walters.
No, hold on, DJ KTE. Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to have her at the end of the show.
Hey, that works for me too.
We're going to have her at the end of the show so that we can just jump right into the topic. How about that?
I like that. Hey, that works too. Yeah, that works as well. That works for me. Yes. So tonight we have a very interesting topic, right, Gloria? Very, very interesting.
We have an interesting topic tonight.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's do soulmates really exist?
Wow, the soulmates.
Yes.
You know, I've heard it a couple of times over the years, you know, soulmate and that kind of thing. And I think I have a different opinion of it when I was younger.
Right.
Opposed to now. But I guess I'll share that as the segment goes
on
tonight.
I'd love to hear it. So I'll wait to hear it. So we have 9 signs that you have found your soulmate already. And this is by HuffPost, HuffPost.com. And the nine of them are: one, you communicate without speaking.
Okay.
Two, you know in your gut that you have found the one. So it's a gut feeling that you have.
Okay.
Three, the physical chemistry is noticeable. Four, you have been totally comfortable from day one. Five, the relationship isn't all about rainbows and butterflies. He or she challenges you like no other.
Okay.
Six, you may not see eye to eye in all things, but you are on the same page where it really matters.
Okay.
Seven, the relationship brings both partners a sense of peace. Eight, you and your partners have separate identities, but you face the world as one.
I like
and
that.
Nine, yes. And nine, you may have known each other for years, but suddenly find yourself ready for love at the same time. And it's ready for love with each other at the same time.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Any comments from you two coming on in, or are they're still getting warmed up?
I guess they're getting warmed up still.
Because, you know, we got a YouTube tribe there, and they're pretty active. You know, they're known to be very active. So, come on, guys. You know, got to get it going here. I want to be a part of this conversation because I think that, you know, the interaction makes it really fun and exciting. And, you know, we learn from each other. It's really about sharing here, having a conversation. As we always say, conversations is a key, I think, to understanding each other,
right?
Coming to an agreement, and pretty much the key to avoid the assumptions and, you know, the misnomers and the different misunderstandings. So
right.
I think that's where that falls in.
Okay.
So, Lady Gloria, we're about to chip away, huh?
Yes, so, we are. So I want you to introduce our guest that we'll be having tonight.
All right. So here we go. So we got three. And we're going to be inviting them in.
Yes, we are.
To hear their thoughts and, you know, and maybe fight a little bit. Who knows? You know, have a little intense thing going on here.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, because sometimes not when we all agree it's fun. Sometimes it's when we kind of rub against each other. That's when it's fun.
That's right.
Yes. So first, let me welcome Jermaine Johnson.
Yes.
Good to have you. I see you smiling like me. I love it. So I mean, I'm in the same team. I got a winner. Yes.
Good evening, everyone.
Good to have
you. Good evening.
And we also have Anisha Jarrett Mitchell. I'll hijack your name now. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm good for that. I'm known to hijack people's names. So if I get it right tonight, please give me kudos, y'all. Because so glad to have you. Glad to have you as well. And we have. Could you please pronounce your name for me, please? I'm going to mess it up. I can see it in the spirit of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to mess it up.
Okay, so I'm Helogene Hepburn.
Thank you. Say it again, please.
Helogene.
I like that. See that she's broken off me now. Now I can say it now. Helogene.
Helogene, right.
Woo, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. Well, welcome all. And to Let's Talk Relationships. And tonight we expect to have a good time talking about this soulmate thing that my co-host mentioned to you a while ago. All right, so if you give us your name. Yeah, so give us a little bit about yourself. Just made us so about, you know, who you are and what do you think about this topic?
Well, I allow the ladies to go first.
I hear you. I'm out of my heart. I hear you. I like that.
Okay, I'm Helogene Hepburn. I'm a counseling psychologist by profession, and I live in Jamaica. I counsel diverse clients and, with diverse conditions. And I've been married for 16 years. Happily married for 16 years.
Oh, you said, you know what you said? Said happily married. So you threw that in there.
Happily.
You know? Married. Like the mixture there. I like that. You know, a little more sugar on the tea. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Sure.
Good night, everyone. I am Denisha Jarrett Mitchell. I am a guidance counselor by profession. I enjoy, you know, talking to young people, dealing with young people who I have been dealing with for over the years. And it's good to be on the show.
Wow.
Nice. Mr. Johnson?
Well, good evening, everyone. Jermaine Johnson's the name. I have been married for 13 years coming this Wednesday, October 20th.
Congrats.
Yeah, to Mrs. Sharna Johnson. And we have one son, Malachi Johnson, who turned 3 years old yesterday. So,
congratulations. You know,
and I'm a teacher by profession, but I really love interacting with young people.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we're about to dive in, and we normally have a very active, interactive audiences, and like I said, you know, we're all over the world, and the thing that I learned being a host of this show is that I try to keep that in mind when I share, because I don't just think Jamaica or just US. I try to think a little more global, and so it helps kind of guide my thoughts. Because I'm learning how to be more mindful, you know, of conversations. And speaking of mindful, whenever I see somebody with a lot of books behind them, it means that they got a lot to say. Don't mess with that person, okay? Just be careful. They will shut you down real quick. So I ain't saying nothing. I'm gonna let Miss Lady Gloria handle tonight because I'm excited already.
All right, so we're gonna jump into the question. So I want to ask, do you really think that soulmates really exist? Anybody?
Hold my peace. I say nothing. My lips are sealed.
Okay, I seem to be always starting.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's the reason why.
Yes, because I hello. All right, but for me, I don't think soulmate exists. I think persons who are compatible, that's what really exists. But for soulmate, those are persons who think that there's just one single person out there for them. And unless they find that person, they'll never find true love. I personally don't agree with that scenario. That's my take on it.
Interesting.
Yes.
I am not too far from her either. I don't believe soulmates exist as well. I honestly just believe that you can find someone compatible on different levels, and then both of you work at it to make your lives enjoyable.
You know, I think they both had a phone call today. These two ladies here, they had a phone call today. It's conspiring on tonight's show to be, you know, just in case they're in alignment here, okay? We got to watch it now.
But what I want to know is, because persons have said that they have more than one soulmate, right? Because persons have also said they have loved more than one person and think they're compatible with more than one person. So for them, soulmate is not necessarily just being with one person, and this is the one person that, you know, I love and I can't see myself without. Sometimes soulmates also, as they say, are friends. You meet someone and you can say, hey, we have been friends for years and this person knows me in and out, and that is my soulmate where friendship is concerned. So soulmate don't necessarily have to be a relationship.
Yeah, you know? I'm aware of that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I can jump in right here. Maybe I'm going to be the divergent one.
I
believe that you do have soulmates in terms of the traditional definition of what person think a soulmate. You sit down and wait on somebody to come along. No, but based on what has been defined as a soulmate, I think before, you know, somebody who perfectly suits you, and, you know, in terms of temperament and, you know, you have certain strong desires towards the beliefs and ideologies. Yes, I stand strongly on that one in terms of my experience as well. So I do believe that they are, you know, soulmates.
Okay, so I saw someone ask in the comment section, what does soulmate mean? And it means a person ideally suited to another as a close friend or romantic partner.
In other words, it's a perfect match. And that's why I'm a little confused now when you're going to say there can be more than one soulmate, because then that sounds like we're going to be jumping all over the place and changing friends or having a million friends or a million partner.
It can be
depending on how many soulmates you have.
So, but it can be a situation, because even Dawn, when we look at part two of the discussion, when we say, can we have multiple soulmates? Scott Persons did also ask that question. And the example that a lady gave was, she was married, and this was her soulmate for 15 years. He died, she got remarried. That was her soulmate again. You understand? Oh. So like in that scenario, when people find persons that they can spend the rest of their life with, they sometimes term it soulmates. So it doesn't necessarily have to be, well, it's the one person I'm married to. I'm saying for them. Because for me, I don't know if I believe in soulmates.
So let me just say. Feel like I'm talking too much.
No, you're not. You're fine.
Say something after you say what you're saying.
Okay. It's called Let's Talk Relationships. So we're talking. We talk all night long. That's what we do here. Okay. Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Because for me, in regards to what you just said, Gloria, they're married to their soulmate, and then this person that right. For me, that's not okay. The actual definition. Mm-hmm. For soulmate is the belief that each person, each and every person has a perfect match. Waiting to be brought together by destiny. So if you're going to be using that definition, then what you just said, Gloria, doesn't stand. Because for soulmate, you have two types of, well, not soulmate. In regards to this topic, you have two types of people. Mm-hmm. The destiny believers, which are the soulmate believers, and the growth believers. You understand? The ones who think, I can grow in this relationship. We will compromise. We will work hard together. And we can make each other happy by what we do. And to be honest with you, these persons working together like that, yeah, you might do everything you want, and I'm doing everything he wants. So we connect. So we're like soulmates in that respect.
Yeah, but you know, everybody
not in the dictionary.
In the dictionary way of soul. But I mean, the persons who we're talking to, or the persons who have looked up or done the research, that's their definition of what soulmate is. So then we go now to the fact that everybody seems to have a different definition of soulmate.
But that's my point, because right now I'm sitting down here and my head is spinning. My head is spinning. My head is spinning, my brother. It's like a yo-yo. No, it's like a gig. It's spinning because of this reason. I need two or three different definitions of soulmate in 2 minutes. And I'm trying to figure out, Keith, okay, do I go back to my old thought after one person only that don't change, that you're supposed to find, otherwise it won't be happy.
Yeah.
You're gonna be sad, right? Or you'll be incomplete, or the one I'm hearing now, which sounds like the revised new version, whatever that is. So I'm throwing
contemporary.
One of you ladies who are multitasking, you're thinking, please help us.
Denisha,
please help me. Help me, please.
All right. So let us go to history, because history sheds lights on future.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to history.
Yes.
The first idea of this whole soulmate came about in 385 BC, thereabout, with this man called Plato. So Plato had a symposium, and Plato posited that we all were born with four legs, four arms, and two heads. And so the god Zeus got so jealous and angry. And remember, Zeus is the god of thunder and lightning. And so what Zeus did in his jealousy was to cut that human being in two. So that individual now that has that one head, two hands, two feet, is now walking around searching for the other half. And so there comes now the term I won't find my other half because the assumption is I am incomplete.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Moving further now, you have this man called Samuel in 1822. He talks about the whole thing of to be happy in a married life, you must have a soulmate. The term came up again. Mm-hmm. And so here we are now talking about finding our other half, and we are incomplete without that other person. And I guess it's from that historical background and those assumptions that I can say I really don't believe in soulmate because we were all born complete.
Oh, wow. You know, just a while ago, you took me back on a journey and I was just seeing stars and
philosophy.
I like that. You got me.
Right. You went very philosophical.
So we're seeing a comment from Rochelle Smith. She says, "Yep, I love my husband, but I don't think he's my soulmate."
Now, let us define that. Whoa. Now, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. You see, that is the thing, you know, Gloria. Even when I was reading up on this soulmate thing, mm-hmm. I think it puts pressure on people's relationship and don't allow people to live fulfilling relationships because a part of them is thinking, because I'm not happy, because we are having these issues in our relationship, then this person may not be my soulmate. My perfect fit is somewhere else out there.
I don't believe that's right. Wow. Someone just asked.
Strain on the relationship.
I think it also does. And I think that's why people go out there saying, I need to find my better half.
Good.
Yeah, but then the issue with that, as you rightly said, Rochelle.
Denisha.
Is that the expectation when you go into this relationship looking for a soulmate, and that's the risk we run. When you go and you say you're looking for your soulmate, that this person comes along, you have a particular expectation. Mm-hmm. Now, if those boxes aren't ticked off, you'll have to check off that checklist. Mm-hmm. And if you're not fitting in that checklist, you get a red flag. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with that is that even if the person loves you to death and has been treating you well, there's something missing for you because of that expectation that your soulmate should have these qualities or these characteristics. You get me? Wow. And so you put pressure on your present relationship, and henceforth, one other thing, you know, is if you notice in science, they say, they use the terminology, oh, we just click. Yeah, mm-hmm. We just click. And so it's almost like you can finish my sentences.
Yes, I've heard that. Yes.
What I want to, that sort of a thing. But that is I consider that a level of compatibility. We understand each other that much. You're so in tune. The connection is so strong, but it's not soulmate.
Wow.
Right? So, for me, now, if you don't see that, you just end up and you go, this person can't satisfy you. And so at some point, you're just going to be up and go. So you have this intense thing at the beginning, where as you hit, you know, everything is so intensified and you're just into each other. And as a problem come up, you're like, this cannot be it. Mm. And you're willing to stop and work on it.
So yeah, but you are saying, all right, go ahead, Gloria. And then
I was saying, but the thing is with, even when I read from the beginning, mm-hmm. people that say that they have soulmates, they're not saying, as it says, that it's all butterflies and rainbows. There are challenges, but they still believe that they're soulmates. There's a show I was watching a couple of weeks ago, and both of them decided to talk to someone about soulmates. And, you know, the woman said, no, he's not my soulmate, but I love him. And
just
he,
like that individual just said in our
head. Right, he got offended. And she was saying, her soulmate is her first partner that she had, actually, you know, but they're not together anymore. Why are they not together if they're soulmates, you know? Oh, so it's right. So for me, it's, I think people tend to say, okay, I'm my soulmate is out there, but we're not together. As I saw someone say, they're out there, but we're not together because maybe my soulmate still don't have everything that I want. Or maybe my soulmate is married to somebody else.
I am.
You know, I think, you know, I think, you know, I think,
Marriage to get that soulmate.
Yes. You know, yes, Jermaine, you've been married for, I think, is it 13 years?
It's going to be 13 years, right?
Yeah, so to tell us, Jermaine, as a man, because, you know, we're very visual.
Right.
And, you know, we see a wife one day, the next day, and like, oh my God, it's the same person I married. Am I losing my mind? No, she looks good. No, she looks crazy. I'm like, what's going on here? Tell us about your experience being married for 13 years.
With your soulmate,
as you said.
Yeah, and I can tell you, and I see, I was with a person in terms of looking at the research, because when I got this topic, soulmate, I was like, huh? but then, because I also see the traditional, you know, conservative, rooted definitions of what it is. Uh-huh. But then I started seeing the progressive definitions, and I was like, okay, based on where they are, because this term was not necessarily used until, you know, further up in the 2000s, and so people started to have it. And people have crazy views. There are some of the definitions that I'll draw the line with. But in terms of having the first, that one that suits me and compliments me, I would say yes. So my story is pretty much like this. In the same season, in an October, Gloria was there, where I actually met my wife. It was on a church trip, and she planned the trip, and we were meeting in Hoje Rios. And I saw this young lady. I was in a mode. I'm telling you, DJ, I wasn't thinking about no relationship. I wasn't thinking about no relationship.
She was for real.
I was just like, okay, I'm gonna go to this trip, and we're gonna come back home. And then I saw her. Yes, and I said hello, and she said hi and moved on. She wasn't really interested either in any relationship. But over time, we started talking, we became friends, and, you know, and so forth. And I was like, hey, this girl is really awesome. And I believe that we can, you know, have a relationship together. Mm-hmm. But it didn't start there. It was just friendship. It was one of those relationship that was, I was not interested in her in a kind of sexual way. This is funny. I wasn't. It was just that I was at a stage in my life at college, and I wasn't interested in, you know, a relationship, and not to bug me, or nothing to distract
me. You want to just get to school and just finish your stuff.
Yeah, and I actually told her some things. I said to her, do not call me at
No,
telling you, that that's where I was sold on her. I was studying, and she actually said okay. And I was like, God, this is the first girl that I've met like this, who she wasn't all about herself, and, you know, and wanted to see how I progress and how we work together. And so that's how we developed. You know, so that's where I would say, looking at my relationship, you know, I would say that she is, you know, my soulmate.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you something. I like what you say, brother, but there are 10 reasons why I think you can define if you're with someone that's not your soulmate. If you can't pass gas anywhere at any time.
Listen.
Right? That's not your soulmate. Listen. All right? If
that one,
okay. If you can't be in the bathroom doing your number two,
that's right.
And she walks you without walking out,
I agree.
And give you a kiss on the lips, same way, say, honey, when you finish, I'm next.
Mm-hmm.
Not your soulmate. All right. Now, you know, I think that in my experience, a soulmate is that when I see her, every cell in my body takes a bow. How about that? When I see her, when I'm around her, I feel complete, relaxed in my spirit, right? Relaxed in my thought, and I feel totally accepted, totally loved, and totally, I would say, I can be me 100%, all right, without being criticized. I can sing crazy. I can do something crazy. Because, I mean, I've had a time when I met people who I've loved and dated. I really love them. And I would hear, why is that so that? Why is this so that? You know, it's either my mom, my brother, my toe, my foot, my head, something. Like, man, what is this? You know, I'm just trying to be me. Can I be me? Can I be me? Never worked. So I think I like what you said about the theory, the old concept, and how it has evolved. But I think that's where we find those little deviations and what it is. But I think, I mean, in a serious note, the soulmate, it can be many people because we're so diverse in our own self. And we discover newness about us in different age and stages. So what could be a soulmate at 20, maybe a different soulmate concept at 30 or 40.
You know,
that's my thought in that.
I don't know if we should change the word. Go ahead.
I think you're like, I will just compliment you that the definition is what's messing it up, but I think you like the concept of the soulmate. That's why you're reveling in that concept to say, you know, I am that. Perfect.
Yeah, because the truth is, where I'm concerned personally, I don't want to use the word soulmate. You know, so I'm married, yeah, and we're great, okay? But then I have a best friend who is a male, and I mean, we connect. It's just different. The connection. You get
hold on. I'm sorry. You said you have a friend.
I have a male best friend.
Well, I want to make sure I'm getting this right because this, I'm getting really, my hair's growing now. This man is getting hot. Let me just make sure I'm hearing correctly because you're a psychologist here and you got to listen very well. We men don't. Just want to make sure we do. So, you saying you're married now, right? You're married.
Yeah, man, we're great.
And your husband is cool.
Yes.
And you have a best friend.
And he knows him and he's cool with him. And he's married. And she's cool with me. Yeah? But I'm just saying we were co-workers before. And so that is how we met. And it's almost as though sometimes he can finish my thoughts. I understand him very well based on what he
I'll take my glasses off. I'm going to stretch.
Really? But the funny thing is,
hallelujah.
It is strictly platonic. There is no romantic attachment. We can just be friends and be in the same space, and he will share everything with me. And to be honest, there are things he shares with me that he doesn't share with his wife. That's the best friend thing. You get what I'm saying?
My dear lady, I'm gonna say this to you. You are phenomenal, but I'm gonna tell you something. We've had many shows, but this right here by far is the number one show. I can guarantee you that this is going viral here because I totally admire what you're saying, but it's scary. It's like, it's almost like, you know, as a male, if you're married to a woman,
but if you think about it, you have females like who connect like that too, and they're not in any way or form. What do you call that? Lesbians or anything. They're just
You have a great husband. You really do.
Yeah, I mean,
with
Helogene's case, I mean. I don't have a male best friend other than my husband. Let me just say that.
She's declaring.
But I can. All right. So I have a few male friends now, and I've said it even last week.
Confession.
That we are close. Mm-hmm. But not the closeness where they're finishing my sentence. I don't even know if my husband can finish my sentences. but I have close male friends that we have grown up together, like Jermaine. We have grown up together, so we have known each other a long time. So we could be around each other, and something is happening. And we look at each other, and we know what is taking place, right? Mm-hmm. So we have that. But am I gonna say, oh, we're soulmates? No, because Jermaine does not make me feel like people tend to use it in that particular way, as it is that they have good best friends or whatever. Oh, we're soulmates, yeah. We're meant to be each other, and you know. But sometimes I think sometimes people take it out of context, and everybody gets confused because everybody has a different definition of what.
Yeah, it becomes subjective. Yeah.
Right, right. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna go to the comment section and read, yes. Because I see that Travelpreneur's Escapade is getting sick. She don't know what to do with herself. somebody saying all kinds of headache attack me now. Give me a hand, Lord. Husband, don't even think about it.
Oh man.
Lord, take the case and give me the pillow. Somebody dead. Somebody's jumping up and down. I mean, so where is that? I mean, I guess people are not used to the fact that
strictly platonic.
But there's something, I will say this though. I will say this. And I think many ladies probably don't understand this, or maybe don't even, probably will never understand it. We say men and women are different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roger Maine, can you confirm with me that we are very, 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 very different?
Yes.
Like really different.
Like chalk to cheese.
Like, yes. If really, I think, you know, so when I think about a female and a man, when a woman said, he's my friend, it means very different from when a man says he's my friend, I think, in most cases.
Can I chime in?
I can tell you why. I'm gonna let address this too. Maybe, yeah. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you why I think so. Yes, I've had friends in the past, and I've known men who have had friends too. But I think the way we are wired, in general, most of us remain friends with a woman purely because of respect. We don't want to not disrespect her because we know that she probably have declared her where she is as a friend. But most men, if the woman wants to one day turn around and turn the twist and give him a little bit of sugar, you know, honey, you know, this, you know, we on a long vacation, a trip somewhere
Mr.
to Florida,
German is shaking his head.
And the car break down and he had to drive me because my husband was sick, you know, he couldn't come for the long trip. And all of a sudden, we go to Florida, and her hand was resting on his leg a little bit. You know, just, you know, all of a sudden, it's like the friendship, for some reason, seemed to be a little more friendlier. You know? And the quality is saying, I'm just trying to wake you up from that falling asleep at the wheel. And he's like, oh, really? Is that what you're doing? Fine. I'm awake, all right. You know what I'm saying? So tell me, brother. Tell me.
For me, Gloria set me up really good right here. But I think for me, that's a story of my life in a sense, past, because I do I study home economics. Okay. So I had I was a male in a female
class. Female zone.
And so I was very friendly, even with church, and Gloria can say, come on over. You know, they were like the police, and like, you've been too friendly with that girl. And I'm like, but I just said hello. We used to just greet people coming to church, and they're like, don't do that. Why are you looking at her like that? And I'm like, what am I doing? I think when I actually met my wife, that's what I'm saying. When I met my wife, that's the time I started to notice certain cues. Let me just say this. I teach, and I was coming out one morning, and she's like, don't wear that pants. And I'm like, what's wrong with my pants? And she said, your pants looks a little bit too sexy. I'm like, no, what?
Wait a minute.
And I'm like, I've been wearing this for a long time.
Yeah, wear that
pants. And I don't think that. So she brought in other ideas now, and I'm starting to look at how I relate to people. I'm starting to look at how I am helpful, and I need that to be so helpful. And so there were some boundaries that were set.
Had to be created
because I would just thought that, okay, we were just friends, and it didn't really mean anything to what I was doing with those things. So I think I understand that part, you know, fully well in terms of how there must be some boundaries. So even this soulmate thing, it can lead to discontentment, and I get what person might be saying.
Yes.
That you're in a relationship, you are there, and you're discontented. And let me just say, I can speak freely. I have seen situations wherein, if you have this kind of idea, the danger of it, and say, okay, there's just one person, And you may be married, and then hear the thing about it. The person you're married to may not have grown in a particular era, right? Yes. So they don't have, let's use the relationship, money. And then you go and meet somebody who that's the part. If you're not content, if you're not contented, you will suddenly think that, okay, I just met my soulmate. And so Mr. So-and-so has been with me all along, all of a sudden becomes, you know, somebody faded. So I think I get what we are saying here about it, you know.
Denisha, what do you say?
I believe though, sometimes we, let's say you're already married to this individual, you think you're compatible, but you, I see somebody typed it, but they're not complete or something like that.
Yes.
What? No, first of all, you need to make that assessment. What are you looking for that will make you complete? Is it a situation that what you're looking for to make you complete, your husband doesn't possess that quality or can ever possess
that quality?
No, that's something you need to check, because sometimes we have little, you know, we give away 80% for 20.
Yes.
So we see 20% over there, and this guy, he have the body, and he have the this, and he have the that, not recognizing that you don't know him full well yet. Until you come live with me. Where you go? Your husband, him check off majority of the boxes, but some boxes are not checked off because he's not perfect.
Yeah.
Can you put in the work, hard work that is necessary to get that level of whatever you're lacking from this husband of yours? Are you willing to do what you need to do? Is it a case where, let's go spiritual here, where you just have a prayer theme because you know everything you need to do already and only God can fix that one day? You cannot change anybody.
Would you say how you respond
to whatever is happening?
Would you say, and you can speak to this, great point. Would you each maybe address this? Say that someone who's looking for a soulmate or has that soulmate idea so strong in their mind, they probably are just very lazy in wanting to make any changes, just waiting for this thing to kind of hit them and say, it's right, it feels good. Is that, you think that's a part of it? That
someone in their thinking? You know, as children growing up, some persons stick to the love novel, what you call it, the romance novels, and we have this ideal man and this ideal woman in our mind. And based on how we are, we think this is what we want. So some of them are not necessarily lazy. Some are just players. Some really have been living a fairy tale life and thinking can become a reality.
Books.
What happens is that when you now find this fairy tale gentleman and something crack up that you really never bargained for. Listen, I don't have the time to waste my camp. But I'm with this, and you cut. You're not willing to stick it out. You exit that relationship because you cannot waste time because your soulmate is out there. You've got to find him before somebody else does. You know what I mean?
But you know something, I believe this, and please address for me. Mr. Lawrence.
Denisha.
You think someone can find this soulmate if they don't know themselves, know who they are?
Repeat that question.
If it broke up a little bit.
Do you think someone can find what they call their true soulmate as they define it if they don't know who they really are?
No.
That's a possibility?
No. And that is it, because one of the whole thing with finding your soulmate is actually selfish. You know why I say selfish and narcissistic? Mm-hmm. It's because you are thinking about yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So if this person doesn't match what I am looking for, it's not what you can give. It is what you are. It's all about me. So if this person doesn't appeal to me, if this person doesn't have what I think I want, then the person is not my soulmate, it's not going to work out.
It's a compromise.
And from my understanding of relationships and marriages and all, you cannot enter a marriage like that, thinking that it's all about you and what you can get, or what it is that you have to give. And in order to know what you have to give, you have to know who you are. And that comes right back to your question. You have to have an understanding first of who you are as an individual, accepting that you are complete, accepting your flaws, accepting all about you, and then you'll be able to move on into that relationship.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I think.
Oh,
I was saying go ahead, Gloria.
No, what I was saying is, just to wrap up, because we're going to wrap up in a few minutes, but just to wrap up, if it is, as Denisha said, I'm going to echo it. If it is that we don't even know what we want for ourselves, how do we know who we want to bring into our lives? And I generally don't believe in the soulmates, because I think soulmates is when people say, oh, this person completes me. I don't think anybody complete me. I complete my own self.
Good.
I believe someone adds to me. So whoever I am married to, they add something to me. So they either help me, they compliment me.
Right.
So they're adding something to my life that will help me. They're either helping me to be better or making me worse, one of them.
Wow.
So I believe that whoever I am with, it is somebody who I believe can help to balance certain things about me. So if it is, I believe, and I'm not saying I am, but if I believe I am a hothead, or if I believe that I or if I believe that I am very blunt,
I'm not commenting on that.
Then the person, this is an example. So the example is those things. The person who I am with supposed to help to balance me, to say, hey, you don't need to be so hot about this one. You can calm down now. Right? So the person is supposed to help me. If they're not helping me, they're causing me damage. So I don't believe it, because as I said, I've been married before. I'm telling you, I walked down that aisle and probably thought that person was my soulmate, and that was not true. And the thing is, I never went in to say anybody, oh, the person is my soulmate. I went in thinking with the notion that, oh, this person completes me, because that's what I've heard before.
Wow.
Then I had to realize I complete my own self, because I was so dependent on somebody to complete me, the marriage ended up in divorce.
Yeah. Wow. Jermaine, you were saying, Jermaine, you were saying something, Jermaine?
I was saying that for, again, it's a way we look at the definitions, and tonight has been really good in terms of opening up, you know, the variations, and we think we can agree at a point to say that, you know, this whole rootedness in terms of soulmate, then that doesn't... People shouldn't go after that, because it can lead into problems and so forth. However, in the context of what I was saying in terms of our relationship, you know, we need to be, I'll end on that to say, we need to be contented. So maybe that's my thought, you know, to say that I am contented within my relationship. So I think that my wife is my, you know, person, and not that she completes me, but she complements.
Exactly.
You know, me. That's my thing on it. Yeah.
One last thing. I just want to say that one other thing we need to remember is that happy relationships are not found. You can't go find a soulmate. It's not found. It's cultivated. It's hard work. It's respect. It's selflessness. Once you're selfless and you love your partner and you respect your partner, it will work for both of you.
Yes.
So whatever you do for yourself, you will do for your partner.
Yes. Awesome.
I just want to share an experience, and that will just accumulate everything that I'm saying. A young man the other day said to me, well, I know the young lady that he's interested in, but the young lady obviously is interested in someone else. But she finds him attractive and all of that. So, you know, me being the person in the middle, you know, he was saying to me, you know, go to her and kind of talk to her to see, you know, whatever, if something can happen. And I turned to him and I said to him, you see, the thing is, you know what you want, but she doesn't know what she wants.
Yeah.
And so no matter if you force yourself or you give her the world, if she doesn't know what she wants, she will not accept you.
Nope.
And that's just it. So we have to find ourselves. We have to understand who we are before even talking about this term soulmates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to know who we are, understand who we are, be happy with who we are. Because if we can't make ourselves happy, how mm-hmm. can we make someone else happy?
Nice. Wow, I love it. I love it. And let me just say this again. You guys are absolutely phenomenal.
Yes.
And I would like to have you guys back at some of this show. Powerful black people, smart, and my goodness, beautiful. What can I
they
say?
Come with
God
their is, books God, and notes.
God has blessed us. The book lady. I mean, I can't imagine the books all the show long. I mean, books everywhere. Like, good God, I think I'm going to get smart now. anyhow, you guys are awesome. And the audience, my gosh, so engaged. So tonight again, I trust that this was another good segment. You're inspired. You are, you know, to think more, maybe more critical, more deeper. Self awareness wheel should be spinning wider and bigger now. And I personally believe that there is soul mates, different mates for the soul that can make it work. Yes. You have to just be confident, yes. As my brother said, be content in whatever you have. Make it work, build on it. Ms. Helogen, I love your concept in selflessness. And Ms. Jarrett, don't bite off money you can chew. You know? Love it. But I like the fact that this was such a fun show.
Yes.
You guys were on time. And Lady Gloria, I know you remember a long day, but you're here with us. Make
I'm
it happen.
Here. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Our commenters, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You
yes.
keep us engaged. So we want to close off. We want to close off, but we want to also... okay. So the book is there.
You got to get that book, Mark. It's called Diary for Gloria A. Gold. You got to get it.
Gloria Adegold, right? So yes. It's Things Left Unsaid Before I Do, Diary of Gloria Adegold. You can get it on Amazon. Yes, so thank you, guys. And before we go, we'd just like to share a message from one of our amazing fans, member, and returning guest, Apostle Dr. Faith Walters. Here's tonight's spotlight.
I am inviting you to my celebration that will be held at the Gideon Putnam in Saratoga Springs, New York. So I'm hoping that, you know, people allow the Lord to move on you, to come, open up the door, to provide the finances. All you're responsible for is the travel and the hotel accommodations. And it's a weekend getaway. And I promised to be a very epic event. So I'm just praying and believing God that more of you will... God will move in your heart for you to be a part of this great move and just celebration of what God has done in my life and how he has blessed me through so many years, you know, and to bring me to this point, you know, so I'm truly grateful, you know. So those that know me, I love to worship God in the first segment because I cannot have any celebration without giving God the glory. So we're going to have fun, we're going to have food, we're going to have just wonderful fellowship and just rejoice in the evening. And, you know, Friday, it begins on Friday, 6 to 10 p.m. And then Saturday, it's a spa or mineral bath. And that's from 9 to 12 in the Saturday morning and Saturday evening. It's a gala event, which is all white or off-white. You know, on Fridays, you wear a touch of red. And then Sunday morning, we get up for breakfast. Breakfast is between 7 and 10 a.m. And we will have another time of fellowship and to reflect. We're going to have some more games. You know, I'm going to have little different things. We're going to have a lot of music, of course, you know, and just celebrating Jesus, dancing, and just having a good time. And when we come out, we're still saved, you know, so... I'm just grateful to the Lord, you know, they allowed me this time. And I will continue to celebrate because God is so good to me. He's been an awesome God in my life. And he's been an anchor that keeps my soul. And he has held me through so much pain, you know, and he has got me through so much in my life. So every chance I get, every year I do something to let him know how wonderful he is and how much I'm grateful for life, you know. And I also do it to encourage others to don't take your birthdays for granted, your year of your birth, you know, the day of your birth. You know, yeah, Job cursed his birth, the day of his birth, because of his dilemma. But even though I had my dilemmas, I was rejoicing. And not only that, I'm going to be, you know, giving out some. I always like to, even when I was on my job, I used to, the day before I did my celebration, I used to give out, get some cake, bring it to work, and just give it out to people in honor of my birthday. So I do silly things on my birthday because I just feel people need to celebrate life. And you got so much people dying around here, you know. And one of the reasons why I put it at Saratoga Springs, sometimes you need to get away and drive, go a little further. Don't just stay in the same community doing the same things. Come out of your comfort zone, you know, and go beyond. Don't forget to take a leap of faith. You know, stop being afraid to travel out. Take the train, take the bus, whatever you got to do. Just get there, you know. And just be a part of the fellowship, you know, and just do something different. Be spontaneous in the moment, you know. It's not just all about me. It's just to also, because I'm taking care of all the expenses. You just really just take care of the hotel and your travel. That's all you're doing, you know. And it's just a time of fun. And you also got to make reservations for your spa. That's up to you if you want to do that. Or, you know, you spend time, you know, just being in the area, because Gideon Putnam is a beautiful resort. Oh, my God. It's so quiet and serene. I'm just encouraging you just to, you know, come and share in the moment with me. And I trust you will have a wonderful time. So God bless you and thank you again. And I hope I see you there. And send me a text if you have my information. Send me a text. Of course, you have the numbers, 914-837-9635 or 914-699-2482. Or send me an email that you would like to come at wamoministries@gmail.com.
Helping to make dreams become a reality. That is her mission. Today, we are here to introduce you to a phenomenal woman of God, an ordained minister, counselor, speaker, licensed wedding officiant, a certified chaplain. She holds a doctorate in theology, master's in pastoral counseling and divinity, and a bachelor's in psychology, along with certifications in Christian counseling, mental health, adolescent behavior, and family counseling. So I'd like to speak to you a little about your work with families and couples. when I visited your website, greatwisdomunlimited.com, so that leads me to ask you, how important is family counseling and who should seek it?
The importance of family counseling is very important. That should be priority. And I'm going to speak from just being my, being an Afro-American, Black African-American person, right? We out here, and I'm going to speak only in my small circle, because I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. But I know in my circle, my immediate family, my immediate friends, and the friends I've known over the years, they don't do counseling. That's just a fact. I can only speak from my small circle. They don't do counseling. And because I practice counseling now, this is what I stress to them. You need counseling. You need to seek someone, someone who can be objective. Someone you can vent, a speaking board, if you will. They will hear you with no bias, no prejudice behind it, because they don't know you. Like when you go to your friends and your family, they know you. They're going to give you your opinion, their opinion. They're going to give you their advice. And if they are doing this, who are these folks? What's your life doing so good that I even should listen to you? And a lot of times, their life is not even, you know, they're not even doing what they're advising.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful. Go to that stranger. Go to that stranger and sit, because that's what we are. We're mediators. We see what the other person don't. We are outside looking in.
Yeah, if someone is listening right now and they are thinking about getting premarital or family counseling, but they have doubts, what would you say to them?
Well, again, I am a woman of God, and the Spirit leads me in everything that I do. And the beautiful thing about what I do, my counseling is based around the Bible. I can't do it, and neither can I. I don't care how, what your skill sets and how awesome you may think you are, it is the Spirit of God that covers it all for us all. I'm here to listen, be that listening board. Since, if you will, yell, scream. I may even give you a punching bag if we're in person. Punch the bag. Get it out. Now, once you get all of that out and clear the air and get all of that pollution out, now, how do you feel? And where do we start?
Let's indeed. Indeed. So my final question is, how does someone book your services?
Call me up. Go to my website. Send me an email. You can text me. You can call me. Wherever floats your boat, everybody is into the device.
You can contact Dr. Wanda Thomas at great, and that's GR8WisdomUnlimited@yahoo.com. GreatWisdomUnlimited@yahoo.com. On LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and at www.great, once again, GR8WisdomUnlimited.com. Or you can call at 1-732-900-7362. That's 1-732-900-7362. Or email us at info@umeradio.com. Until next time, I'm Trisha Gay Kelly. Hey, America.
Good evening. How everyone this evening? I love the introduction, so I'm hoping I don't have to go thorough into my credentials because it was already mentioned, but I'll just share a little bit what was already said. Yes, I have a doctorate in theology. I'm a certified chaplain. I'm a licensed officiant, and I have countless different certifications in mental health behavior and family counseling. Mainly, I like to, and family counseling, if you will. And I gear my sessions more so around the spiritual uplift of a person, around the Bible. Thank you for joining me this evening with a segment of Bible cufflinks and stilettos. It was interesting when the producer brought that to my attention because I am a stiletto wearer. I love my stilettos, black, white, blue, green. I love my stilettos. You can be a Christian and still be sexy. You can be a Christian and live the best life yet. And that's where I come from. I like to share the word of God with love. When I minister at the prisons or the youth detention center or on the street, one thing everyone will say to me is that I never heard the message like that because I share it with love. But the topic today isn't about that. It's about dating. I just wanted to just give a little overview and what does dating mean to you? But before we get started, please share the notification bell for notification when you go live, when we go live, and you're looking, would like the upload of the video. So please click that button. With that said, our topic today is on dating / relationship. Why do most people date or live together, if you will, for many years before they decided to get married? Well, I asked 30 people, and these were some clients of mine, co-workers. These were friends, families, acquaintances. And I asked them that question because these are the situations that they went through. These are their stories. I know there's 6 billion people on the planet, but I only spoke to 30. I could have spoke to 100, you know, like Family Feud. We asked 100 people about this question. Well, I asked 30. And they all had something interesting to say, but I only stuck on like a key of what they had said. They had said a lot. All of them had said a lot, and just sitting there and writing a lot of notes, it just was certain key things that stuck out to me. And one of them were they already been married and they're never doing that again. That was one of the questions. And of course, you know, it's so funny because as I read these different statements, you're going to know the difference if a man said it or a woman said it. And unfortunately, they had a bad experience. They went through, had a bad relationship. They had a bad experience. And I can answer that. Why? Because they, again, when you don't follow the word of God. Let me just backtrack for a second. I'm hoping, I'm talking to Christians and anybody else who would like to be a part of this, but I am a bona fide Christian. I walk, I talk it, I eat it. And I've been a Christian for 15 years. And my life changed drastically when I met Jesus on the road. The masses. My life changed because I was a rebel. I was a rock star. And if anybody know what that means, being a rock star, I party like a rock star. I party 6 days a week. And I took one day just to rest so I can get ready for work and just prepare my mind and my body. But I was young, so I was able to do that. I would never even try to do that if I wasn't a Christian because I lived like a star, if you will, and not in a good way. But we're going to get into that. A lot of my history as the weeks and months as God allow these segments to go on, we're going to get into, I'm going to share a lot of my own skeletons, and they're not skeletons anymore. I'm just going to be transparent. So I'm just going to be a little transparent, but we're going to get into a lot of different topics. So let me just go back to what some of my clients or acquaintances have said. They were married, and they're never going to do that again. They had bad experience. They had bad experiences, and most of them said that they're testing the water. What does that mean, testing the water? I mean, how much sex can you actually have? How long does it take you to get to know someone? I can speak from that, from my own experience. It don't take much. They say that first impression is the best impression. If it was bad the first time, okay, you already got a taste of it. Then the second time, how many times? And now you're testing the waters for what? How long you're going to date this person? How long? What are you looking to get out of it? You already test the water. It may have been good. It may not. Your personalities are clashing. We can't fix each other. And we have a tendency of doing that, trying to fix folks. You can't fix each other. We're already grown. We're already set in our own ways. We're already set in our own mind. We already built our wall or our shield around us, if you will. Now, you can change if you want to, but again, it all depends on that individual for change. You have to be flexible. You got to want better. I stress and focus on master, because that is the beginning of you changing your life, getting rid of poison, getting rid of the things that you don't want in your life, getting rid of the people that you no longer want in your life. You have to start clean. It's almost like cleaning house. You know, a lot of people, I'm doing my spring cleaning, I'm doing my summer cleaning. Well, it's the same with your life. You got to get that toxic out. And before you can be your best and live your best life yet, first and foremost, you got to meet Jesus. That's first and foremost. Without him, we can't do anything. I know I can't. I can't do anything without him. I'll let Jesus guide my life, lead my life. I talk with him. I walk with him. Whatever decisions I make, and sometimes I still go against his word and have to learn the hard way. With that said, to live your best life yet, to meet your best partner, your mate, it's all about meeting your life partner. It's all about meeting your life partner when you're dating. What is dating to you? What does that even mean? You have to ask yourself, are you dating just for fun? Are you dating just for, I don't know, hookups and friends with benefits? I'll be 56 years old next month, and I never even knew what hookup was. I knew of a one-night stand, but I never knew what hookup was. I didn't know hookup is just straight sex. Skip the dinner, the movie. At least you used to get a McDonald's dinner or something. Now it's just... Hey, I take my hat off to those. How one want to live, that's not my place, neither here or there. And I definitely stress for us as Christians, no, we're not perfect, and we all as well. We're still learning, and we have slipped up and probably still slipping up. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of having Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, he said, come to me. He said, and ask whatever you ask in his name. You know, ask for forgiveness, repent, and he will forgive you. He's not like him. He's not like man. He's not going to hold it against you. And that's the beauty of having a relationship with Christ and not with man and man's agenda. My personally, for me, I had to take a hiatus out of church because I couldn't understand what they wanted. I said, well, I'm getting ready to go to hell because I know I'm not perfect and I can't even begin to even understand what I got to do with this or where I'm going with the questions that were stated in church. So anyways, let me, you know, I can go on and go on and ramble. I mean, I got my own history. I don't even have to go by these 30 folks I spoke to. I was going to do 100, but I said, let me just do 30 because they were wearing me out, you know, just listening to them and just writing and just trying to keep on some keynotes here. Trying to get my notes there. So some of them said they put the cart before the horse. They should have gotten married before moving in with their partner for and being roommates for 10 and 15 years. They said they lost the best years of their life. Well, again, I can respond to that. When you put the cart, again, you put the cart before the horse. Well, these and you haven't seeked Jesus, then we make bad decisions. We're going to continue to make bad decisions. Even as a Christian, we're flawed. We're going to still make bad decisions or we're going to make wrong moves. But at least we know that we can come to Jesus and say, Lord, guide me. Please direct my footsteps because I'm doing something wrong here. I feel ashamed. You don't have to apologize to nobody. You don't have to do anything but go to the feet of Jesus. He is waiting for you, and he's always going to forgive you. He's not like man. He says, even when it comes to forgiveness or whatever it is you need, he say, forgive 70 times 70, please. And we mess up one time with our friend or family member, they may give us a second. By the second time, they don't even want to be bothered with you. You haven't talked to each other for 30 years or 20 years, and you don't even know why you're not talking anymore. But that's the beauty of Jesus. He never leaves you nor forsake you, and I love it. So, guys, let me get to another again. I can ramble, go on. I only have 24 minutes, and I'm just trying to pile a lot in because we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun through these weeks or months. However long God allowed us, we're going to talk about everything. I'm transparent. I'm transparent, and, you know, it is what it is. I don't have no dirty laundry because I'm going to gradually put some information out there. I don't know if a lot of you eyes or ears can receive that information, but that's my testimony. And that's why I am who I am today, because I, again, that's my testimony. And I have a relationship with Christ as I do because I lived as a rock star and did everything under the sun. So now when I came into the Word of God, heck, I don't have nothing to prove. I've pretty much done what I wanted to do. So nothing else kind of interests me. But again, do I still have my impure thoughts and do I still have my flaws? And because none of us have arrived, absolutely. This is not about judging anybody. This is not about judging anybody. So when it comes to dating as a Christian, guys, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes, but we have that companion, that father, that friend. The Bible says he's closer than a brother. You know, we have Jesus that we can come to. You don't even have to go and share it with your family members or your best friend for them to judge you. You did something wrong, whether you're dating, whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, whoever, if you did something wrong, take it to the feet of Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness. It's not him that making us feel guilty. We're feeling convicted, and we feel guilty because of the relationship we have. When you have a relationship with Christ, you cannot do the things you used to do. I'm telling you, people, I tried. I tried to keep trying to be my old way, And every time I would kick myself and cry and tears, teary-eyed and don't understand what is going on, because I could not live the way I used to live. When you have truly walked with Christ, I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes because we're flawed, but it's just something you're just not going to do anymore. It's just some things you're not going to want to do anymore. So the reason my topic is on dating, because not only I want to share some dating tips with you, but I wanted to also share what 30 people, if you will, had said. Again, I could have said 100, I could have said 1,000, but I'm going to keep it real. This is what they have said. I know it's 6 billion people on the planet, but I got this from 30 different people that pretty much didn't know each other or even know I was even talking to them. So this is their story. This is their information, little statements I've taken from all the information, data I collected from them. One said they got so complacent at the point it didn't even matter if they got married or not. I am a licensed officiant. And one thing about when I do my weddings, I love it because a lot of times these folks hire me for my website and my social links, and they sent me reviews, and I'm obliged and grateful as well with their response too, that they have given me. I would share with them one thing I liked about being a licensed officiant is when I have to do the private moment over them, which comes from my heart, meaning with the weeks that I had to deal with my client as I'm getting them prepared and want to know what it is that they want me to say, or they give me their whole idea of what they want their wedding to be like. Jumping a bungee jump, if they will. You know, I'm there to satisfy them. At the end of the day, it doesn't change me. I married Muslims, I've married Hindu, I married Christians, I married folks who no denomination. They want it sweet, quick, and fast. Heck, bottom line, don't even mention Jesus if you don't. But because of the person that I am, I always implement, can I say God? Or can I say this? And I always use certain scriptures that when I'm doing my ceremonies, is certain scriptures that I just can't get away from because it's the word of God. And when I use them, it just binds them together to me. That's what I get from it. And I love when I speak over their lives, from the weeks that I had dealt with them, I got to know just a little bit. But to be honest, when the Spirit leads me, because I'm praying the whole time, God, let this go your way. And when the Spirit leads me, I just let the Spirit lead me, and from what I picked up from their character, and I just share it with them in front of all of their family and friends. And I feel good. They feel good. They're satisfied. And I'm grateful that I did another good job for God. Because it's not about me. So with that said, when it comes to dating, guys, Christ is the first and foremost the way to go. Let me go to another question. One person said they didn't set their standards high enough. What does that mean? They didn't set their standards high enough. You can't just settle for anything. And what happened with that, they just didn't set their standards high enough. What they did is they met someone, right? Now, we as women are always trying to fix somebody. Men are not like us, and we can't change grown folks overnight, let alone change folks, period. And what happened is they didn't set, this person said they didn't set their standards high enough. They really wanted to get married. But because this guy gave them butterflies, he probably was nice and buff and he looked good and looks good on her arm. And so we settle. We settle, but at the same time, he's a player and you don't care. You just happy he looks good and he wants me. And you know, so yeah, you now the infatuation is over and the looks are, well, for him, not fading, but the all of a sudden, what was great and looked good then, it doesn't look all that great now because now you're just getting what? You're just getting friends with benefits. You're getting hookups. I'm here to tell you, I stress marriage. I'm single, and I want to be married. I want my Boaz. Anyone who knows who Boaz is was the Jesus' great-great-great-great-grandfather, this Boaz and Ruth. I'm looking for my Boaz. I want my Boaz, and I want my Boaz, and I want a... Let me just backtrack for a second. I always do that, guys. You want to always see me say, hear me say that. Let me backtrack, because the thought of come up. Then get ready to finish your thought and then another thought come. Folks jump in, they have this fantasy of what a marriage is or dating is, watching these, I don't know, these reality shows or these love stories on TV. Some of them may be ideal and real, and some is fictitious. It's just, it worked for them. Just because it worked for them doesn't mean it's going to work for you. So you got to have your own format. You got to be real with yourself, and you got to know what you want. If you don't know who you are, there's no way on God's green earth that you're going to know what you're looking for. You got to know who you are. And it took many years for me to get to where I am right now, knowing who I am. This didn't happen overnight. I had to go through a bunch of frogs before I realized this ain't working. This ain't working, Lord. I keep going against the grain. I am sick of it. I am going to wait on you, trust in you, Lord, and wait on you. And every time that I go against the grain and do it my way, never fail. I get disappointed. And then as a Christian, guys, you also too, you definitely want to find someone with that same spirit. Okay? As a Christian. I tried doing it before, going against the grain, and it just didn't work. And not raving or ragging on anyone, but I was in a situation where I was almost married. And I did the social, the dating app. I will never, ever do that again. I am looking for the old-fashioned way of meeting someone. It will never be on the dating app. A friend of mine's introduced the app and said, "Juan, you know, you looking for a husband, and I ain't looking for a husband like that." And she was saying, "You know, go on this dating app." I said, "Absolutely not. I will never ever do it. It doesn't work for me. May work for many other folks. It didn't work for me. All it took was one time. Don't do it. If I can't meet you at the supermarket, driving in my car, walking down the street, or in church, or whatever, at the park, I don't care, at the water park, whatever, on a roller coaster, if I can't meet you like that, I'm not going to meet you. Definitely not on no dating app. This texting thing, it took the texture out of authentic communication. And the conversations get so misconstrued. Conversation is so misconstrued when you texting and not talking with someone. So with that said, let me just, I want to break this down real quick. Give me 1 second. Let me break this down real quick. I want you guys to walk away when it comes to dating. Your ideal should be where your heart is.
Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Subscribe on YouTube.